good evening. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Flag now to the left. Okay, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Someday. Okay, may we have roll call, please?
Good evening, Commissioners. I'd like to take the roll call. Chair Gregory Hartwig?
I am present.
Vice Chair Marlene Hurd?
Present.
Commissioner Castillo?
Present.
Commissioner Main?
He is excused, but I think he will be here.
Thank you. Commissioner Montgomery?
Here.
Commissioner Pitts? And Commissioner Lynette Young Lee. Thank you.
Okay, next item is approval of minutes from our last meeting. Do we have a motion?
I have asked put the motion down.
I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, abstentions, carries unanimously. On to old or unfinished business, item A.
Good evening, Commissioners. First, I want to welcome our new Commissioner, Lynette Jung Lee, who is joining us for the first meeting and recently appointed by the Mayor and the City Council. And I'm excited about her joining the board, filling Brody, who left us for the Planning Commission. But we're thrilled you're here. This is old business, as we've already conducted a public hearing and done public outreach on our annual MTW plan and also items B and C, which are corresponding changes to our admin plan and our ACOP, the two governing documents for the Public Housing and Section 8 program. So I'm going to turn it over to our Director of Policy Implementation and Compliance, Dominica Henderson, to give a brief report.
Okay, good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Dominica, and I'm going to walk you through what's happened over the past month with the MTW plan. We've had a couple changes over the month that I'll explain. Just a reminder that the fiscal year 2015 MTW plan is conforming with a new form that HUD released. The plan and the report this year will look a little bit differently from what's been put before you in past years. So we'll still have the introduction, the general housing information section, followed by proposed activities, the approved activities, sources and uses, and administrative section, which is the certifications and the resolution that the board is approving the plan. And so what this presentation will do is kind of walk through the highlights of those sections. So the slides correspond to the different sections of the plan. The general overview for the MTW program, the Oakland Housing Authority's MTW program is, instead of moving to work, is rebranded to Making Transitions Work. Our current agreement with HUD is through fiscal year 2018, although there is some progress towards the extensions that I'm sure the executive director has shared with you and may want to share with you again. In fiscal year 2015, we have to submit the plan. For fiscal year 2015, we must submit the plan at least 75 days before the beginning of the fiscal year, which is why this item is here today. Assuming that the approval is given, then we will submit before April 17th. And the plan runs through July 1, 2014 to June 30, 2015. Part of Section 2 of the MTW plan describes the statutory objectives and the statutory requirements. I think it's best to describe the statutory requirements are the requirements that we have in our standard agreement that we have with HUD, that our MTW plan and report and our entire MTW program must comply with all of the statutory requirements. Right now, what the different agencies, MTW agencies throughout the country are going through is a process to build an assessment tool that will be able to measure the statutory requirements as well as some other items that we are also required to measure. And so serving at least 75% of the families that are very low income and also measuring whether or not that we've maintained a comparable mix of housing by family size is something that both HUD and the 39 agencies are working on an assessment tool to be able to measure that in detail. And additionally, we measure whether or not we serve substantially the same number of families as we were serving prior to MTW. And so you may have heard the term the baseline. And so basically the assisting substantially the same number of families in 2004, our baseline was established. And so one of the statutory requirements is that we serve at least that number of families today based on some incremental adjustments. And so that those numbers really are reported in the MTW report process, but they certainly are the reason why we design the plan in the way we do so that we can make sure that our entire MTW program is meeting all of those requirements. In terms of the statutory objectives, the activities that we propose under the MTW program must meet at least one of the statutory objectives. And so for the fiscal year 2015 activities that we proposed, those both meet the statutory objective to reduce cost and achieve greater cost effectiveness. So the two activities, as I mentioned, that we proposed for fiscal year 2015 are the local area portability reform, which revises the portability policies and the voucher program to limit local area port outs, except for special circumstances. And then we have a second activity that we're proposing, which will modify the utility allowance policy. And that would modify our policy to be consistent with what is required in the appropriations bill that was recently passed for fiscal year 2014. And then it would also eliminate the utility allowance payment, which is a monthly payment that we make to households whose basically whose tenant portion is less than the utility allowance. So we're proposing these two activities. They're described in great detail in the MTW plan. And when we went out for public comment, we had no public comment actually from the greater public. We did have some comments and some conversations with the Resident Advisory Board, which I will describe a little bit later. But based on the comments and the conversation that we had at the RAB meetings, we made a couple of modifications to what we originally proposed about a month ago.
I see.
So the changes that we made, or that we're proposing rather, in Activity 15-01, the local area portability reform, we're proposing that, you know, to limit the local area port outs. We wanted to make sure that it was clear that existing port outs are grandfathered in the sense that we would not require households that are currently ported into a local area jurisdiction, we would not require them to port back in and live in Oakland. But the policy would apply to them if they proposed to us to port to another jurisdiction. So say there's a current OHA household that lives in Contra Costa County. If they want to continue to live in Contra Costa County, they can go ahead and do that. But upon implementation of this policy, if they want to port to San Francisco, then they would be subject to this policy just like the rest of the program households would be. So we wanted to make sure that that was clear, that we're not requiring them to move back, but that the policy would apply if they wanted to move to a different jurisdiction. And then for the proposed activity to modify the utility allowance policy, there were some comments from the RAB requesting that we modify the hardship policy. With the utility allowance policy, because the utility allowance impacts the way we calculate the rent, it's considered a rent reform under the MTW program. And so with all rent reforms, we have to provide a hardship policy for households that may not be able to meet the level required under the new policy. And so for the hardship, we proposed that we would give 6 months' notice to all households And in any hardship cases, any cases that qualify as a hardship, so if they have a $50 or more increase, essentially, then they would receive an additional six-month reprieve from the policy. And any long-term, this is, and then the next step is based on a comment that we received from the RAB, any long-term hardships or any hardships that would need longer than 1 year to be able to adjust to this new policy would be considered at the discretion of the executive director. So that's something that was not originally proposed in the activity a month ago, but we included as a result of our conversations with the RAB. And so those were pretty much all of the changes that we proposed. The plan then goes on to, in section four, describe the approved activities. Currently we have 23 approved activities, and of those activities, 13 are ongoing. We intend to put six of those activities on hold, and four of those activities we have approved but have not implemented for various reasons. And so here's a list of the activities that are currently approved and the status. And so in section five, it describes the sources and uses and how we will propose to use our single fund flexibility to be able to deliver the programs and services that the Oakland Housing Authority delivers. It's important to note that the sources and uses, the numbers in the sources and uses that you have in your MTW plans are estimates, and they will be refined as we go through the formal budget process that will come before you in the next couple months. But those are the best estimates that we have, and what we'll do is once the final numbers are approved, then we would revise the numbers that we include in the MTW plan. And so that is, it just happens to be that our budget process and the MTW plan process don't, you know, exactly line up. So we'll refine them. But the general idea of the budget is included before you. And the way we intend to use our single fund flexibility, we also have to describe to HUD so that they're aware of how we're using that ability to have some fungibility with the funding. And so we propose to fund public housing at a higher, more market comparable level to make sure that the public housing units are high quality and can be leased up. And we also propose to, as one of our long-term goals, to preserve and expand the affordable housing supply. So ensuring that we are providing additional families beyond the traditional Section 8 and public housing programs, but additional families with the opportunity to live in affordable housing. And so one of our long-term goals is to also use our single fund flexibility to house families under programs like the MOMS program or the sponsor-based program. And those are described as activities in Section 4. And then we also use our single fund flexibility to promote resident empowerment and self-sufficiency through our Family and Community Partnerships Department. All of the activities that are delivered through FCP, a lot of them are because as a result of our single fund flexibility. And so we utilize that flexibility to be able to provide a lot of the resident services that that are not typically seen from housing authorities. And finally, we also propose to provide a consistent level of security to our residents, so making sure that we are funding the Oakland Housing Authority Police Department, and that's funding the police department to provide police services to our OHA properties and other properties, and also to fund different security measures, so maybe not the police department, but in addition to the police department, I should say, security cameras or different things that might add to the security and enhance the security at the sites. So during the public comment period, like I said, we had no public comments from the general public. We began the public comment period on February 3rd. We posted it to our website, and we then sent a direct notification to our community partners on February 6th. notifying them of both the public hearing and then that the MTW plan, the admin plan, and the ACOP were all published for public comment. On February 6th, we went to a resident advisory board meeting. We reviewed the proposed changes with the RAB. And then on February 19th, we published in the Oakland Tribune a public notice, the same notice essentially that we provided to our community partners saying that the public comment period had begun. We also published it in the Oakland Tribune. We had the public hearing at the Board of Commissioners meeting on February 24th. And then received no public comments at that meeting either. And then on March 6th, we closed the public comment period. I'm sorry, we had a resident advisory board meeting on March 6th. And then just to kind of review the plan with them again, because the public comment period opened basically almost the same day as the RAB, we wanted to make sure that we went over any questions that they may have had once they had a full month to review it. And then on March 7th, we ended the public comment period. And so from there, we incorporated the clarifying language and the changes to the hardship policy for the proposed activities, and then have presented the what will be essentially the final document to you in your packets today. And like I said, the MTW plan must be submitted by April 15th, or April 17th, really.
No, I was just going to ask a question. Sure. I'm just curious as to what we attribute the lack of public comment to. Is that because we're so exceptionally thorough, or is it some other reason? Has it historically been like this?
It depends on what changes you're proposing. And we propose very modest changes this year. We have two changes, and they don't really impact any current residents or the number of people we're serving. And secondly, I think the majority of folks who we send it to, and they're everything from the legal advocates to the tenant organization, everybody, recognize certain things, that we're moving money for resident family services and for police services and doing activities beyond housing authority. And I think everyone kind of agrees with it. We've been doing it now for several years. And this is not a earth-shattering plan, so I didn't expect a lot of comments.
Yeah.
And it was very helpful to get the RAB's comment. I was really particularly appreciative of the last one on the utility allowance. So if there is a burden to one of our families, because we usually do that, and we just didn't when we were writing this language. Yeah. And until one of the resident leaders said, well, why don't you just have a clause that they can appeal to me, which is most of our processes, so that it can become permanent if there's something that we haven't considered. And I thought that was a great comment. So I think it's just because it's not a dramatically different plan. We're not in a position, financially or otherwise, to stir it up in a big way or do huge new things, but at least we're keeping consistent with what we're doing in this plan.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I think that, and I agree, I think that input that we got from the RAB, I mean, that's what helps drive us toward excellence, is doing things like that, really. So I really applaud that. You know, that very complete approach to things. So, thank you. Commissioner May.
Usually there are some comments from Just Cause. Have we heard from them at all?
None of the advocates, tenant or legal advocates, have written us or contacted us. And usually they will call us first, and then we'll get written comments at the end if there's something they have questions about. We didn't get any questions this year.
That's great.
Yeah, it's very cool. Oh, Commissioner Montgomery.
Clarifying language, is that in here in the materials that we have from the RAB?
From the RAB?
Yeah.
The change is attached to, they're in the next two items.
Okay.
We highlighted in blue what those changes were because we didn't want to redistribute the 300-page document. So we just gave you the changes this month. In the next two items.
Next
That's where the changes actually appear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, Commissioner Castillo.
Thank you for the presentation.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was curious if, with the portability piece, the families that I know it's over 900 right now that we have outside of our territory, do we have collected statistics on why they've moved away? I know that there are suggestions as to why they moved away, but I was wondering if there was hardcore data that we could see as to the reason why they moved, when they moved, was there a migration time?
We can tell you when they moved. We don't collect that data, though. We don't collect why. They just make the request, and we prepare the package. It goes to the receiving housing authority, and then they have to go through their process. And then if they're successful at leasing up, they move to the other jurisdiction. But we don't ask them why. Now there's, in our policy, there's several authorities that have done what we're doing in a much more restrictive way throughout the country that are MTW. But we have a number of different, and we didn't cover them in this, but we did during the public hearing and for the RAB. Is there a number of different reasons that you can still move? So we're not shutting it completely. There are certain exceptions mm-hmm. that are everything from school and work and things. So we really aren't. We're just trying to really address, you know, the population that is really coming from a jurisdiction only to get back rather than try and taking the resource with them. And also, if you move even a few blocks, if you're in East Oakland and you're living on 98th and you move, you know, 10 blocks into San Leandro, that's a whole port thing, where if you found an apartment two blocks on this side, it's not, and it doesn't cost us and the receiving housing authority so much. The main issue for me is still remains the movement of affordable housing resources and serving fewer people in Oakland at the expense of our surrounding jurisdictions. And that's really what has been going on. And we may do reciprocal agreements in the future, but right now we're losing over $1 million a month in subsidy out of the city.
Mm-hmm. I understand, which is why I'm, and I do understand that at that deep level. I just, from the family perspective, I still care that, you know, we have choice involved. And that's why I just want to say a couple of words on behalf of the one family who really wants to move out of Oakland. And maybe it's not a domestic violence situation or a hardship situation, who might have some genuine reasons why they would like to move out of Oakland. So I'm hoping that perhaps, and I think that you do have it, that in our monthly report we still have a port in, port out report, so that we can keep an eye on it, that it's not completely shut down, that there is some flexibility and some allowing of having family step up to us and hear their story and saying, okay, let's go ahead and do that one, and that we still have an open door where a family can have their say, and that we're available to listen and then move forward with the port out if we find it that it's okay and it meets our requirements. So I just feel necessary to speak up on behalf of families who really we're going to say no to. So that just kind of bothers me. And I do understand that it's $1 million a month is huge, and so I do understand that part.
What would be, I think, helpful to track, because, you know, we're going to pass this, we're going to try it, and we can come, and so watching it is a really terrific suggestion. In the monthly report, what we can start tracking, I'll talk to Michelle tomorrow about it, is we have all the reasons that you can move, and maybe we can, as we implement this, say how many ported in for what reason, and see if we're covering it all, and then we'll get some feedback from the people who we weren't able to accommodate and why, and what the impact was, and then revisit it after we've had a couple years of doing it, because it's going to take, you know, there aren't that many. They're already there. So
I truly appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Any more questions? No? Okay.
I'll move the item.
Oh, yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Moving on to B. Consideration of a resolution approving changes to the Oakland Housing Authority Public Housing Admissions and Continued Occupancy Policy, the ACOP. These changes correspond to the MTW plan that you've just approved, and they do include as an attachment, you'll see some blue ink in the end of this item before the resolution, that allows some changes that some hardship policy changes that we made related to the policy, both portability and utility that were mentioned. Do you have anything you'd like to add, Dominica?
No, just to point out that these changes are in the narrative descriptions of the MTW plan, and then we just added them also into the policy document.
And they will not take effect until the MTW plan is approved by HUD, right. So they're not immediately effective.
I'll move the item.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners. Moving on to C, consideration of a resolution, and we do need three votes. A resolution, you know, for each item, so I appreciate the indulgence. Approving changes to the Oakland Housing Authority Section 8 Administrative Plan. These, again, correspond to our MTW plan, including the two changes that were discussed during that item. And we're here for any questions.
I will move the item.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously. So we are now moving on to item 5, modifications to the agenda. Hearing no modifications to the agenda, we will move on to item 6, new business, item A.
Item A, new business, is a presentation of Oakland Housing Authority Police Department's Officer of the Year and Oakland Housing Authority Police Department's Employee of the Year, and I will turn the podium over to Chief Carol DePlessis.
Good evening, Commissioners and audience. Carol DePlessis, Chief of Police. Happy to announce that, again, we're going to recognize two outstanding employees. Through our awards committee earlier this year, we have a group of staff of sworn supervisors, officers, and non-sworn. Collectively, they got together and through a committee, they nominated several people for various awards and then narrowed them down to two. Upon doing that, they produced a letter to me with their recommendation for my approval. Of course, upon looking at them, I was very surprised that my name wasn't on it. Obviously, a great leader I am, they didn't think I deserved it, but I won't take it out on any of them in the back. Nevertheless, I wasn't surprised by the two people that were nominated. Before I call them up, I do want to say that I am very pleased and I'm very proud to share today with our scholarship awardees of today. I think that is just absolutely excellent, and I don't think we can do anything more important than honor these youths. So congratulations to all of you. First, I'd like to call our Employee of the Year, Ms. Jackie Mesterhazy. Why don't you come forward? And secondly, I'd like to have our Officer of the Year, our Sergeant Mike Morris. Again, I was not surprised by either one of these two. Mike Morris, let me talk about him first. He has been with the department since 2008. When James Williams was sent over to the Oakland Unified School District Police as acting chief in 2011, I moved Officer Morris into the acting sergeant position in investigations. Since then, he's actually worked to really improve the unit. In 2013, the unit actually created over $800,000 in fraud repayment agreements, of which he actually was able to recoup $333,000. His unit closed 178 cases and did outstanding work. Mike, I do want to remind you, you're only as good as the people you supervise, so make sure you thank them also for their hard work. Since his time, he's received 5 accommodations, including in 2012, which is dear to my heart, he's received the chief's commendation for his outstanding service. Jackie Mesterhazy, our 2013 Employee of the Year, is the Communications Records Supervisor. In 2013, she oversaw major enhancements of her operation to include our CAD upgrade, our CAD RMS upgrade, MODIS upgrade, new surveillance cameras where we had to set up different protocols in order to be able to operate that from the dispatch, community alert program for forensic logic, and I can keep going, several. Since she's been with us, she's received 10 accommodations, including the chief's commendation. In addition, in 2003, she was Employee of the Year then also. She has provided outstanding service to the agency. Based upon that, I want to congratulate both of you. You both exemplify the best in law enforcement and the best in the housing authority. I'll remind ourselves that we're not in the policing business, we are in the housing business. And what you do is providing the best of housing throughout this country. So I do congratulate both of you.
Any of you going for?
Do you know anyone to make comments?
I'm going to put them on the spot.
First, I'd just like to say thank you for giving us the opportunity to police in the city of Oakland. I'd like to say thank you to my peers for voting for me on this award, and thanks for the support from my family. That means a lot. Thank you, everybody.
I just want to say thank you to everybody, especially my staff. I couldn't have done it without them. Thank you all.
Thank you, Commission. That concludes the presentation. Any questions?
No.
How about having the staff of each one of them, stand in recognition for their support?
Well, they're all standing.
Now. I think they're all in the back and out and upstairs. But they're all, listen, everybody's in support. I'll tell you what, we have a cohesive unit. And if everybody is together, am I correct?
Good answer.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And on behalf of our commission here, I would like to thank all of you for the very, very valuable service that you provide to our community and to our residents. We really appreciate it. And I think that the quality of police work that we have, it's really true community policing, which I just think is a wonderful thing. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioners. I just want to thank the department, particularly these two individuals. They're terrific staff. And to have them represent us as representing this department, the entire department is full of some of the most extraordinary people I have the privilege of working for. I'm proud of you all and the work you do in this city every day. And to Jackie and to Sergeant Morris, congratulations. It's much deserved.
On to item B, right?
We're on to item B. Item B is a special recognition of OHA's 2014 Public Housing Authority Directors Association, which is a group we're a part of, annual scholarship applicants. And I want to call Janet Rice and Linda Ellis up to the center, and I will join them. We have special recognition for the people who've completed the scholarship application process. We can't submit all of them, and there's only one national winner, but we want to recognize some of our extraordinary students. No, we're going to do a group. Yeah.
Good evening. Lenita Ellis, Director of the Family and Community Partnerships Department. Each year, as Eric stated, the Public Housing Authority Directors Association provides scholarships to high school seniors living in public housing. For 2014, they had three scholarships ranging from $5,000 to $7,000. FCP mailed out over 1,300 residents with youth between the ages of 16 and 18 invitations, inviting them to apply for the scholarships. In order for students to be eligible, they had to be a Public Housing Authority resident. They had to be currently enrolled in high school with an overall B grade point average and seeking to enroll in college. Applicants were required to prepare written essays. They had to submit two letters of recommendation, complete the application, submit a sealed transcript from their high school, and they also had to submit a letter of recommendation from the Public Housing Authority's executive director. FCP reviewed the applications and submitted two recommendations to be forwarded off to FHADA. The Public Housing Authorities are limited to forwarding only two applications to represent the Housing Authority. The two applications that were forwarded from the Oakland Housing Authority were those of Benjamin Wang and Kala Al Olifi. However, while there were only two that could be forwarded to FHADA, the Oakland Housing Authority has chosen to recognize all 12 of the high school seniors who submitted applications. We are acknowledging them because they all did the work and they all met the minimum qualifications in achieving their academic excellence. Each of their students are going to be recognized with a monetary award in the form of an Amazon gift card, a certificate of achievement, a monthly planner, and a flash drive. Additionally, they are going to be recognized by our resident leadership committee, which is made up of Oakland Housing Authority resident leaders. And before we bring up each of the students, I'm going to ask the members of the resident leadership committee who are in attendance tonight to please stand as they are going to be presenting our students with medals of excellence. The members who are in attendance tonight are Robert Mitchell, Henry Cunningham, Drina Rivera, and Betty Lou Wright, who will be coming forward to give brief words prior to our giving out the awards and certificates and recognition to each student. And each member of the resident leadership committee will be presenting the students with their medal of excellence. Ms. Betty Lou, if you'd come forward. Thank you.
Good evening. Good evening. On behalf of the Leadership Center Committee, thank you. On behalf of the Leadership Center Committee, this is our first official activity. And everyone is not here, but we do represent a very enthusiastic committee. It is our joy to recognize these students. We want you to know you are not leaders for tomorrow. You are leaders today. To your siblings, to your community, to your neighborhood, and to your schools. Other students are watching you. They have watched how you have achieved with perseverance. It hasn't always been easy, but you did it. We want you to continue climbing as leaders. Life has many, many pathways. We don't know which path you will choose, but we do believe whatever path you choose, you will continue to lead. Thank you.
We know that each student could not have achieved their academic success on their own. They each had support from their family, their school personnel, their community members, their loved ones. And we would also like to acknowledge the family members and the loved ones of the students who supported them through the process. So if you're here this evening with one of our FADA scholars, we would like for you to stand so we could also acknowledge and applaud you tonight as well. Okay. So students, when we call your name, if you would please come forward. And if you would receive your Medal of Excellence first from one of our leaders, and then if you would then receive your certificate and your gift bag from our executive office, and if you would remain standing, we would like to take a group picture at the end. So our first FADA scholar is Benjamin Wang. Our next scholar is Kala Olifi. Han Tran. Tanzania Petrie. Audrey Shepherd. Tanzania Zimmerson. Nyla Sepulveda. Tajay Knox. Danny Dixon. Becky Ruan. Cherry Wong. and Valen Horton. Congratulations to you all on your great work. We expect that FADA will notify the scholarship winners in April, and the Stephen J. Bollinger Scholarship for $7,000 will be formally presented at FADA's annual convention and exhibition on June 3rd in the New Orleans, Louisiana. And the winner of that scholarship will receive a trip for themselves and one of their parents or guardians to attend the convention with them. And again, the individuals who were submitted to represent the Oakland Housing Authority were Benjamin Wong and Kala Olifi. Again, congratulations to you all.
And I just want to say on behalf of the Oakland Housing Authority how proud we are that you got your applications, and I hope you got used it to do many more scholarship applications, and wish you the best. And also just point out there's a board behind you that has been working on education in Oakland for several years now, and one person, particularly Marlene Hurd, is chairing our education committee, and this I know is one of the issues that's dearest to her heart, and I just wanted to make sure that I recognized that committee and this board for caring enough to let this authority get involved in education, providing the direction and guidance we needed to really help students and help the district, because you're Oakland's future, and we need to invest in that future. And everything we can do to help you succeed, we want to be able to do. And I think that I speak on behalf of the board when I say that. So we're going to be following you, and I hope you all go on to amazing things. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Usher. Questions?
All right, so we're having a really wonderful evening here. So item C
is consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Oakland to provide funding for up to 300 youth to participate in the 2014 Mayor's Summer Youth Employment Program and authorize amendments to the fiscal year 2014-2015 budget to reallocate funds as needed for this agreement in amount up to $450,000. This item is similar to one that went a year ago, where again we took administrative staff savings, meaning those of us who are working evenings and Saturdays, it's our bonuses we get to provide 300 job slots to youth in the city. Last year we ended up with 291 OHA students served through summer youth employment. Prior to that, prior to us doing this initiative, we tracked to the best of our ability how many of our youth had enrolled through all of our outreach efforts. It was one not everybody self-reported, so we didn't know, but it was remarkably small, and we weren't really targeting some of the youth that we really wanted involved in the program. So last year we funded this, and we didn't quite get to the 300, but we got pretty close. One of the things we did for the outreach is our police officers actually helped with the outreach as a community policing initiative. So they knew some of the kids, and they made sure that they got to the path that got them into one of the job slots that was OHA. Repeating that every year is a significant. One of the things the mayor's reported is last summer was our most peaceful summer the city's had in recent memory. And I'm just speaking from a property management kind of side when I say that when you have kids who are hanging out all day and all summer long, it's nothing but a maintenance challenge, if nothing else. And giving them a purpose and a real value is what I think the summer youth employment does. I've been an advocate of this program for decades, actually. And the reason, and I'm on the WIB board, and I know what their funding restrictions were left. I know how they don't have the money to do it. And I also believe so fundamentally that the first job you have, the first real job you have, changes your perspective of the world. And I think when we have some great youth up here exiting high school, but if you can give them a first job and take them out of the high school and learn how to interface with adults on a different level, it changes them for the rest of their lives. And I feel this program is one of the most pivotal programs we can offer. When a lot of us were older, were a lot younger a long time ago, and growing up, we would get jobs in the summer. We would get jobs at pools, we would get jobs at McDonald's, we would get jobs at, in my case, Taco John's. And those were our first jobs. The problem is, those jobs aren't available anymore. And unless a community meaning the whole city of Oakland, not just OHA. Unless a community really steps up and makes work available, particularly summer work, for our teenagers, because that's really what they are, trying to find their way, we're losing, I think, one of the great development steps for our youth. And when you look at what's happening in America, what's happening with things in terms of the economy and the school, one of the big casualties are that teenagers cannot find that first job in the same way 30, 40 years ago I was able to. So I feel strongly about this, and I'm very, very proud to be able to present this to you and say we will find the money, and I've identified in the board report where we think it is. And that concludes my report.
So move the item.
Oh, is he here?
Second it.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the summer job program moves forward with unanimous support.
I'm thrilled to see that, and I would like to introduce John Bailey in the back of the room, who runs the Workforce Investment Board for the City of Oakland. I don't know if he cares to say anything, but we don't have a speaker card, so.
He doesn't.
I can have a question.
You can say something if you'd like, John, if you want it.
How many years ago did you say you started that first job?
Well, when I got off my horse and buggy and walked in to fill out the application, that was my first job was in 1976.
Commissioners, thank you very much for the privilege. I was listening to what the director was saying, and I was remembering I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I grew up in the city of Pittsburgh, the inner city of Pittsburgh, what was called then the Hill District. And lost my dad when I was 11. It was just my mom and I. My first job is I had the key to the locker that had the games and the balls and bats at the rec center three blocks from where I lived. And my job was to get there early in the morning. I had a clipboard and I signed things out. And I check things in and control the inventory for the summer, and it was my first job experience. Being that my mom was working, and I had the day to waste or get in trouble, having the job kept me focused. Earned a little spending change for the summer, and she was able to go do what she needed to do, which was go back to school so we could live. And not worry about what I was doing and getting into. So it helped navigate my path. I was going to make a comment, and I'll be very brief. I enjoy coming to your meetings, and I need to come on a regular basis because I like the work that you do and the passion that you bring to the community, and it gives me energy to go back and do the work that we're doing at the Workforce Investment Board. And looking for ways for us better to link and work together. This is such a shot in the arm. I can't tell you what this means to be able to go to the breakfast kickoff on April 30th, knowing that this is already the start for this summer. It was a joy working with the staff. They were very helpful in guiding us through the process. It was a learning curve for us. So I know we'll be able to do a better, more smoother job this year with you, and I appreciate that, and I want to personally thank you for this. Really do appreciate it, and we will make sure that we get 300 plus out of the money that you're giving us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as I recall, that was a wonderful success last year's program. I mean,
absolutely.
Really got the results. So I mean, I'm really happy to see that we're moving forward with this again, because this is
and it's important to do it every year.
Yeah,
it can't be a one-time thing.
Okay, item D. People. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would just like to compliment Eric for being a strong advocate. You know, of the Summer Youth Employment Program. I've been a part of that for the summer job program, even before the mayor, Mayor Kwan became mayor. And this has really been a good shot in the arm to receive this these funds to help the youth because they're really ready to work during the summer. And it did make a big difference this summer. I noticed it, and I would ride around and see them in that little orange and yellow vest. And you know, some of the girls would have that purse on their arm, but I still say, how are they picking up trash? But yet, it was a joy to see them. And in some neighborhoods, they said, well, we don't see them. I said, well, okay, I'm going to ride around and see. And I know that it affected West Oakland a great deal to help these young people. And I've been in two town hall meetings already, one in West Oakland where the workforce board was there talking about the jobs, and also at Castlemont about 2 weeks ago. So we're pushing it, the jobs, and we just can't thank Eric and the Housing Authority enough for doing the job that they have done. So let's give them another hand. I thank them very much.
Okay, D, recognition of people who are wishing to address the commission.
We have no speaker card.
No speaker card. So, rocketing on to item 7, written communications.
Written communications are our two usual items. I don't have a lot of new items, just the monthly report, which I would just like to again kind of point out, page 21, the end of the report. We've included some pictures about how our developments are progressing, the ones that are under construction, and I just kind of want to point out that 3 years ago we sat in this room on a Sunday to figure out how we could afford to make all these work, and those decisions made by the board 3 years ago have now resulted in first hundreds of jobs, but for me more significantly for the future is really terrific developments integrated throughout the city. And if you look at the pictures, and I regret we can't throw them up for the folks here, you have pictures of, for example, Coliseum Gardens, and you can see the old stadium that I hope soon to get replaced with a new stunning stadium for the Raiders in the background. We'll see how that goes. And a couple of the other ones that I wanted to point out, because Phil was able to get a couple of good pictures. There's the one at Coliseum Gardens, whose wait list is opening, in case anyone is aware. It's open. It'll be open for the next month. Terrific new family development that is where the rectory and where the cathedral used to be. And you can see the old cathedral on the picture on the left, which is the brick building being restored, as well as new housing around it. And then Lakeside Senior, and if you remember the presentations, the design of Lakeside Senior, and I kept saying it's just such a great location because you get up high enough, you get this great view of the lake. And I don't know who got up there, Phil or Bridget, but somebody was able to get up to the fifth floor and take the picture, and you can see the picture there, and you can see that I'm delivering this development with a great view of the lake, just like was promised by the architects. And I really want to thank Phil and the design team and design and real estate team for keeping these on track. We've never had this many projects under construction at one time, and they've made sanity out of it, and they've kept everything going. And we were blessed in one way with a drought this winter because it allowed construction to get ahead, and that's the good news of the drought. The bad news is we all know. So that's my written communications. The others are the remaining scheduled meetings and approved travel. So moving on to reports, since we have to do two items. The second one is just my report. I have a couple of reports. One is we left on your chair the 2013 annual report from the police department, which is really interesting reading. Please read it. If you have any questions, let the chief and I know. We'd be happy to discuss it with you. But we thought it was important to see. The other thing I'm going to pass out is a letter that I received today from Sandy Enriquez, which is offering us the 10-year extension to the MPW agreement because we are a high leased authority. So we have got the letter. It was emailed today, so it didn't make the packet, but I wanted it on the record. We are moving ahead. I will be in D.C. on Thursday and Friday. I was going. It's a Council Large Public Housing Authority conference. I was really going to ask her where it is and what's going on, but now I get to thank her and say, when do we sign? I'm very happy that that has moved forward and that we were one of the agencies selected to continue in the program. It's been a lot of work, and it shows, I think, the quality of the work that we do. Lastly, I just want to recognize the Resident Leadership Academy folks who are here tonight. I was able to meet with them and sit down with them on Saturday and talk, and they were gracious and let me carry on, and I appreciated that. But they're watching us tonight, and maybe you all can just raise your hand so the board will know. Thank you for being here and sitting through our meeting. I truly appreciate it. And that concludes my report.
All right, excellent. Do we have any reports from commission committees? I think No committees met.
No.
So there are no reports.
April 17th is the Education Committee meeting.
Do we have...
Oh, did I say Coliseum? No. Cathedral Gardens is the wait listed to open. So if I said Coliseum, I meant Cathedral.
Yes. We gathered that.
This is what good staff does.
Yes. Do we have any announcements by commissioners? Commissioner Castillo, okay.
Thank you, Chair. Earlier today, I went to the Oakland Peace Center. They had a mixture of networking between organizations, building community in the city of Oakland. I'd love to bring to the attention of our staff a resource by the name of Elementary Peacemakers, and they are reducing bullyism.
Bullying?
Yeah. In the schools. And sadly, they're not at Oakland Unified School District. So I was hoping perhaps if one of our staff would just talk to them to see if they're of interest to us and see if we could maybe use them and connect them to Oakland Unified School District. I have the information here. Thank you, Ms. Janet, for following up on this. I was very impressed with the assistant director. She truly wants to make a difference in the lives of our children and create a better educational experience with them without the stress of being bullied. So,
very cool.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Commissioner Hearn.
Bear with me. I have a couple things I want to say. Actually, I have a list, but bear with me. First thing I want to say is thank you for allowing me to serve you. It is humbling, to say the least, to be able to represent you at the national level and be able to bring the residents' voice to our congressional leaders. So thank you very much. The first thing I want to do is thank the executive director and Greer for the new website being up. It looks beautiful. Thank you. I also want to thank you, Executive Director, for the ticket to attend the Parents Together 13th anniversary. I did attend that, and I wanted to give kudos to Hetty Chang. She really spoke highly of OHA and our work with absenteeism and what we're doing with our parent engagement. So I want to just make sure I bring that back to all of you. She really spoke highly about that, so thank you. And see, while I was there, I won a gift certificate for a massage. I'm going to give that back to the residents. They can raffle that off at the next meeting. Okay. While I was there, I met Melissa Bonta. She is the executive director of Bring Me a Book Foundation. She is the wife of Rob Bonta, our assembly member. Awesome, dynamic woman. Yes, very good. And I saw some of our parent ambassadors there. It's really good to see them out networking and doing and representing us. I want to thank you for allowing us to go to the NARL conference in DC. One of the things that I really appreciate in representing you at the national level is being able to share our story, what housing is doing to our residents and how much it's making an impact. And meeting with our congressional leaders, Barbara Box being one of them, the stories are so important. Ms. Wells will know, she was in the meeting with us, and making sure that the people in our congressional leadership know why we're here. It's important that we travel so that we can be represented. We're not taking vacations. We're really representing it. So again, I think Moses can echo that, and our chair can also do the same. And the last thing I want to say is, right now I'm serving on the International Committee, representing you all, and that is very humbling. In the meeting, we are discussing information such as the world global impact, being able to take what we do here to the world. In reading the World Cities Report, for me, it was very humbling to see that children are living in slums and not trying to realize how is that happening, but it's happening. And so me sitting on that international committee gives me a voice to be able to let them know what we're doing at the local level as a best practice you can take on the international level. So again, it moves me just to think that a child is living in a slum with poor water, no housing. It's just unthinkable that that's happening, but that's the work that we're doing on the national committee. And the one thing I'm going to also say, I want to thank Greer for the new educational brochures. Oh my God, they are beautiful. I think Ms. Wells brought them, and we were able to share them. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they were great talking points. We were able to use them with the congressional leaders. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. They were beautiful. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's the end of my report. Thanks. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, yeah, well, I would agree with Commissioner Hurd that we really did have some what I would call engaged sessions with the folks on the Hill. You know, you could tell when you have someone's attention and when they're just sitting there being polite, and we got people's attention. That was pretty cool. So I really thank everyone that worked on that and helped everyone prep for that, because I think that all of the sessions went very, very well. And I guess that is it. Did you have something, Moses? Oh, yes, of course. Commissioner May.
One of the things that I really appreciated in this last conference that was a little different was the football player LeVar from Washington Redskins, who spoke to the students. We are trying to have young people brought up in housing to understand opportunities and benefits of working for the housing authorities. And in doing so, he made it a point to engage them and help them understand that they need to make a difference and plan now. Little steps, not just big leaps, but little steps to get to where they want to be and have a plan. Because if they don't, and I'm sure he was speaking to some of the adults that were there too, because many of us try to take big leaps in accomplishing what we want to do, but actually we need to do it in little steps and plan those steps so we can get there. And I thought that was really important to take away from there and bring back, especially to our youth. And I'm always excited. I used to sit on the WIB, and I understand they're having a meeting tomorrow regarding that with the city council. Wednesday.
Wednesday afternoon's a special meeting, yeah.
Right.
Wednesday afternoon at 4:30.
Okay. We need to be supportive of our young people getting services through the city of Oakland and having them recognize that they're going to have to want and help push adults to give them the baby steps that they need so they can get to where they want to be. They're lost. You give them, the biggest deterrent against crime is employment. I've been saying that for years. Working for the carpenters, I had to get the carpenters to recognize you can help your communities and your neighborhoods if you're willing to partner with the community to employ the youth and get them into jobs, especially in the union, and get them on your projects. It is terrible. It is a terrible waste to have them sitting in their own communities, in their houses, watching development go up around them, and you're calling your union members from across the country to come and enjoy this boom of work when there's people in the community right here starving, not getting the opportunity to work that you can develop and have a workforce right here, and not only have a workforce here, but also have the money stay at home instead of being sent across the country. They finally got it. Now, whether or not they still embrace it, that's a whole nother story. But they did get it enough that we developed enough people here in Oakland that the Division of Apprenticeship Standards for the state recorded and over 50% minority participation in the apprenticeship of Afro-American men and women that there wasn't, never been seen before. Of course, that scared the union, and they might do little things differently, but we need to help encourage them, which is one of the things that we do with our Section 3 program, and I want us to keep supporting what we do to help our residents grow. Also wanted to, I got a text message from Dr. Little regarding the NARSA conference. I don't know if anybody else got that. I see it's still TBA here to be announced. In your travel calendar, it's September 17th through the 20th in Atlanta. I'm hoping that we also have a delegation of our residents that are interested in attending this. Last year, I had a chance to speak to a group. Unfortunately, most of the group was from New York, and they have a whole different agenda, and it doesn't speak to everybody else. So I said my little words and watched the show continue and said, you know what, we need to have participation from across the United States. So it's not just New York whose issues are being addressed. So I want to encourage our RAB and whomever is in the sound of my voice to be interested in going into see what's happening with the NARSA conference in Atlanta in September.
Could you repeat those dates?
September 17th through the 20th.
Thank you.
All right, we are, believe it or not, moving on to adjournment. Do we have a motion?
Second.
So done.
Okay.
Nicely done.
I don't think he has.